We are very pleased and proud to be in the service of my brother, this Dr. Abdul Majid Muballighi. It is appropriate to thank the audience for their participation in this session. In addition, we would like to thank all thinkers, dignitaries, honorable brothers who participate in person or virtually. The title of the topic of discussion for Mr. Dr. Muballighi's speech is Shi Affair and Iranian Lifestyle, Methodological Reflection and Epistemic Social Consideration. The main points of the discussion are: fiqh can play a vital role in the growth of different aspects of life, of lives in Iran. Fiqh is comprehensive and holistic system of thought. The Iranian intellectual tradition has a long history of engagement with fiqh. Fiqh provides a framework for understanding the values and the norms that shape Iranian life. Fiqh can be used to promote positive social change. Fiqh has been used to promote effective lifestyle in Iran and for Iranian. Now I can ask you to start the discussion. We are waiting for your speech. Please.
Thank you. In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful, I appreciate you, Dr. Ghahramani, for holding this session and your colleagues in the Academy of Islamic Sciences and Culture located in the city of Qom. And before I start my discussion and talk about the topic that you have already mentioned, I just want to condemn what is happening nowadays on the innocent people of Palestine, this unprecedented level of, let's say, bare brutality and barbaric massacre, which is going to be kind of genocide, has made it really difficult just to see the screen of TVs. So I just want to pray great God to give these people a kind of, let's say, relief. As you mentioned, the topic of our talk today is about life world of Iranian and its relation with jurisprudence or fiqh. So my presentation today has, let's say, five parts. It is consisted of five parts. First, I will introduce my hypothesis, my claim. I try to make it clear what I am going to speak about it. Then in three main steps of my presentation, I will discuss three ways in which I propose that Iranian mindset and understanding apparatus and culture and also life world is somehow connected and related to the jurisprudence of Islam or Islamic jurisprudence. So after these three steps, I will come to the conclusion and try to provide you with some examples, which I hope can help us to illustrate what I mentioned before. It's a kind of whole plan of my presentation today. I start with speaking about the hypothesis and the claim I have in my mind, and I want to share it with you today. During my talk today, I will try to argue that jurisprudence or fiqh is the underlying foundation of the Iranian mindset. In other words, within Iranian mindset, in different aspects and layers of Iranian mindset, in the core of this mindset, jurisprudence, or let's say kind of normative approach toward the world, is located. So that's why our mindset, as it is mentioned by philosophers, is normative rather than descriptive. It means faith has a central feature in our cognitive in the first place, and let's say epistemological in the second place, apparatus of our approach toward world. And faith, based on that, that has a profound impact on the way that we Iranian both thinking and acting. I will try to show why faith has such a root and why faith is rooted in the theoretical foundations of Iranian thought as I am going to describe it. So based on that, I hope I come to a point that can help me to illustrate why it's important to know that Iranian society is so related to jurisprudence. That's the core of my claim. It means jurisprudence is among the most promising ground for recognition of Iranian historical and nowadays existence. So I'm going not only to speak about the apparatus of mindset of Iranian as an epistemological entity, but also to the history of Iran, which is about the culture of Iran, but also to the life world of Iran, which refers to nowadays of Iran. In three levels, I will try to make it clear how jurisprudence is associated with the way that we can understand the world, we are connected with the world. We can not only think, but only act. The realization of our mindset is somehow in connection with the functionality that jurisprudence is playing in our life. That's the hypothesis, the claim, which I hope I'm at least to some extent are going to be successful in proving. By studying jurisprudence, I hope I will find the channel to let's say discover some hidden part of this process of making the world meaningful for us as Iranian. What is happening in our mindset in connection with jurisprudence? So I am supposed to do some duties, to take some duties. First of all, I need to speak about theoretical roots of Iran in its origin, how this civilization took place in its first time, how it became possible to be a part of different important ancient civilizations of the world. Then I will speak about the cultural continuity of Iran and the connection it has with jurisprudence. Here I will try to show how during the centuries, during so many centuries, our society not only was related to jurisprudence, but also jurisprudence as a methodology help us to understand what has happened within this culture. And third, which is the last part of my discussion, is about the life world and different lifestyles which are cultivated within this life world. I will discuss how the Iranian, let's say, worldview has been shaped in different lifestyles, in different ways of representation it had and it has nowadays with returning to the role that jurisprudence can play to shape social changes. Let's start with the first step, go to the first position of my discussion. Here I am trying to show how Iranian mind apparatus has jurisprudence in its core. In fact, I am going to discuss the theoretical origins of jurisprudence as it appears or has appeared in relation with the realization of Iranian civilization before Islam. To understand it, we have to see a determinism which has happened during the history over the existence of Iran. Iran as an entity is involved with the geographical, let's say, determinism. And what is it? It's the location of Iran. Iran is located in a strategic position between the ancient civilizations of Greece and India. Returning to the history, we can detect there were like six or five important civilizations. I just set 6 or 5 because it depends on the way that we try to make a differentiation between different civilizations. If we put Greece and Rome in the same category, then we have 5, and if we separate them, we have 6 important civilizations. But at the end of all discussion, 3 of these 6 or 5 civilizations were together, and 2 of them were neighbors of Iran. So Iran was the heartland of civilization. Iran was a place in which different civilizations came together. Iran was a place in which the, let's say, extra energy, extra power and force of different civilizations transformed inside it, into it. So the location of Iran between 2 important civilizations of Greece and India have played such an important role in the history of Iran, in the establishment and emerging of Iranian civilization. This geographical location has had a profound impact on the development of Iranian culture and society. Let's speak about different aspects of this issue. So we have Greek civilization, which is located at the western part of Iran. So the mindset that this civilization has produced historically has something to say about the way that we are nowadays in Iran as a civilization. Greek civilization was characterized by a focus on the abstractive and universality. It was a kind of civilization that was concerned with the nature of reality, the purpose of life, the ideal form of government. They developed a sophisticated philosophical tradition, which was about bringing so many different parts of this civilization together. It's like this civilization tried to make philosophy possible because of its special condition. It was an idea-oriented and universality-oriented civilization. It was about abstract idea. So many islands tried to have the unity. The unity was such a transcendental understanding of the world. So metaphysics was the production of such a civilization. So we have philosophy and philosophy-based civilization of Greece. But when it comes to India, the story is completely different. The civilization of India, on the other hand, was characterized by the focus by a special focus on concrete and particular issues. It was a kind of civilization which was concerned with the everyday experiences of human life, the natural world, not the divine, abstractive, metaphysical understanding of the world, but the religious lifestyles which is everywhere within the life of people. Because of that, you can see the gods of India were on the streets, but the gods of Greece were on the sky. They were not available. They were out of our accessibility. So this civilization of India, which is about an Eastern form of religions, so many different religions, which are different from the way that we have understood historically the meaning of the word religion, which is Abrahamic for us. This religion-oriented difference, this concrete and particular aspects of life-oriented civilization was so important and located at the eastern part of our civilization. So now, with considering what is around us, the neighbors of us, we can understand the way that Iran's civilization was emerged. The position of Iran between these 2 civilizations has led to a unique cultural synthesis. Iranians' mindset is both abstract and concrete, universal and particular. It's a kind of culture that seeks to make a balance between these competing demands of reason and faith, reason which is coming from the Greece and faith which is coming from the east part of our neighbors, which is India. The universality and the community. Community is about the life which is around. The universality is about the metaphysics which is over us. The materialistic approach to the world and the spiritual approach to the world. And here we can understand how the apparatus of Iranian mindset was formed, was shaped. And how we can understand the role that jurisprudence has played in our historically in our understanding of the world. In fact, jurisprudence or faith is the bridge between these two. It's a like linkage between the sky and the ground. It's a like, let's say, mechanism which made it possible to consider both dynamics of metaphysics from one side and physics from other side. Sometimes I use a metaphor which I'm not sure it helps or it doesn't help, but anyway, I'm going to speak about it. The metaphor is the airport. I think Iranian civilization, historically speaking, was like an airport. You know, in an airport, when you are underground in a terminal, you think of the sky. You think of the departure. When you are going to be in the airplane and go to your trip, and when you are under the sky, your mind is concerned with the ground. You think when you are going to land, the landing is what occupy your mind. Iranian civilization is like an airport between civilizations in the world. And in a civilization like this, in an airport, you need protocols. Because it's, I don't want to use the word dangerous, I just want to use the word to be crucial. It's so crucial to have a life in a place with such a transformation, so many transforms. Historically speaking, we can see so many civilizations came to Iran and then became part of Iran. So you need protocols. Jurisprudence is like the protocol, the legality, possibility of legality, capability of jurisprudence made it possible for us as Iranian to have a kind of conduct with this, let's say, crucial condition to make it possible to stay and to continue as a civilization. It's like instruction, the protocols. So Iranian wisdom-based awareness, it's not about religion in the first place, but religion, I mean the Eastern form of religion, not Abrahamic form of religion. It's not about religion as we see it in India. It's not about philosophy, but about wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is kind of awareness that emerged in between of these two. Iranian wisdom base has produced in jurisprudence or fiqh as a kind of fruit, as a kind of mechanism, as a kind of, let's say, contingencies, philosophically speaking, to make it possible to consider both metaphysics and physics. And it's not limited to Islam, pre-Islam, after Islam. In the first 7 centuries of Islam, which were mostly not Shiite, after it became Shiite, all these forms of existence of Iran are somehow associated with the, let's say, continuation of the existence of jurisprudence. Jurisprudence is so essential, so crucial, so cultivated inside the mind of Iranian, as I tried to speak about it, at least when it comes to the epistemological apparatus of mindset of Iranian. So by that, I am going to the second step of my talk, in which I try to make it clear and I illustrate that how jurisprudence has reflected itself not only in our culture, which is the representation of this civilization, but also it has a role in understanding of this culture as a methodology. So let's speak about jurisprudence with some other terms. Jurisprudence is not about issuing fatwas. Yes, it covers issuing of fatwas, but it's not just issuing of fatwas. Jurisprudence is a complex and multidimensional discipline, a discipline which has multi-parts and many-sided approaches. So it's a discipline of knowledge and knowledge of discipline. And I am choosing the words with focusing on the meaning of them. It's a kind of knowledge which led to having a discipline. It's a kind of discipline which helps us to have a knowledge. It's between knowledge and discipline, knowledge / discipline. It's not right to define it as a set of rules and regulations. It's not just instructions and codes of practice. It's, let's say, a kind of discourse, a great, sophisticated, complicated, multidimensional discourse that we have to keep in our mind, the so we have to keep in our mind so many possibilities which are inside this discord when we speak about jurisprudence. Our cultural continuity, the continuation of our culture, can be understood when we try to find the channel inside it, when to try to understand how this culture is based on what I have mentioned about that apparatus. So I turn to the culture of Iran in history to make it possible to speak about the way that jurisprudence can help us to understand it. Here I am speaking about the literature Georg Gadamer put on table. Georg Gadamer helped us to have a way to understand text in a more deeper, in a deeper way. Georg Gadamer says to understand the text, you need to speak with the text. You have to establish a dialogue with the text. So the hermeneutic of a text comes from the text. Consider this idea in our mind helps us to understand the connection between jurisprudence and culture of Iran. I think jurisprudence is like a methodology to go toward the culture of Iran. It's like a lens through which we can get better inside the culture of Iran. In other words, in order to have a more accepted way of illustration of what Iranian culture is and how it has functioned historically, took place and functioned, we need to go to the jurisprudence as a kind of methodology which provides us with a kind of, let's say, hermeneutic. So why jurisprudence has this kind of capability and capacity? Because jurisprudence, as I mentioned before, is located at the core of Iranian mindset. Because of that, the history of Iran, the culture of Iran, which is representation of this history, has in its genome the presence and the existence of jurisprudence. In fact, jurisprudence illuminates the mindset of Iranians in the first place and the culture of Iranians in the second place. It's like a theoretical opportunity to discover Iranians' epistemological and cultural background. Fiqh provides us with a conceptual framework for have a dialogue with our culture. As Gadamer mentioned, when it comes to the hermeneutics, we have to seek for fusion between horizons. So the horizon of text, which is our culture, and the horizon of us, which means we as reader, can come together. We can have this fusion of horizons when we try to go through to the jurisprudence, through to this culture, relying on the capabilities which are mentioned, which are existed in jurisprudence as a methodology. By discovering this framework, I mean jurisprudence, we can gain a deeper interpretation of a variety of the traditions that are located inside our culture. So I think it's clear. Let's go one step forward. I have some experience. I have some examples for that. Like the way that we understand wajib or obligatory, the way that we understand recommended or mustahab, the way that understand prohibited or haram. I don't know, it's okay to speak about them or just go forward. I also have some other, let's say, theoretical examples for what I have mentioned about the role that justice or adl has played in our mind, which I can focus on them and speak about different legal system of Islam regarding of that functionality of concept and the way that concept are conceptualized in our mind. But let's go forward to focus on other aspects of our talk today. So I just now reached to the third step of my discussion, which is about the jurisprudence and its role as a tool to socialize. To see where we are, let me review what I have said in two sentences. First, I try to show how jurisprudence has such a great role and crucial impact in our epistemological apparatus, in our mindset. In the second step, I try to show how it has been reflected to the culture of Iran and the continuation of our existence relying on that culture. Then I try to show how it can play a methodological role as a hermeneutic, which helps us to go inside this culture, and it can play the role of something like a lens through which we can better understand how this culture was formed and shaped and, let's say, articulated. And now I reach to the third part of our discussion, in which I try to say jurisprudence is not just about understanding and illumination, but also about making something different, to change the world, to come outside of our mind and try to have some social changes. How jurisprudence can play such a role? That's a step of my discussion with you, and I just now go to this part of our talk. So the title is that jurisprudence is a tool, an instrument for socialization. My great friends know that socialization is a kind of social procedure in which you are changing the society in a deeper way, not just try to force people to do something when they don't want it. When people come to a conclusion that it's the time to do something as they like it, it's more about lifestyles, life world, rather than physical power and physical force, which is imposing on someone and force him to do something. So the claim is that jurisprudence has such a role in socialization in contemporary Iranian life world. First of all, it's clear that the life world of Iranian is based on that apparatus and culture. It's not separated from them. Because of that, jurisprudence is located at the core of this life world. So one can come to me and say, are you blind? You cannot see so many people around. Don't follow the codes of jurisprudence. Do you have illusion? Do you think that people are following this instruction? I say, no. Even though I have a glass, I wear a glass, still I'm not enough blind not to see what is happening around. I can't see. There are so many people who are not following the instructions of jurisprudence. That's the reality. We can feel it. That's concrete, tangible. It's not something that I'm going just to deny it. But the fact is, even those who are not following jurisprudence in their daily life, still, if you see deeply, if you try to analyze how they are approaching toward different lifestyles they have, you can understand the existence of normative approach in their actionaries. This normative approach makes it like connected to the jurisprudence, to that apparatus I made, I spoke about it. So in the life world of Iranian, the function of jurisprudence is the expansion of socialization process. Let's speak about the spectrum of politics, political spectrums. Different people are located on different parts of this spectrum. Some of them are position, some of them are opposition, some of them are with the society, some of them are against it, some of them are leftist, some of them are just trying to promote right ideas. Even so, at the end of all discussions, what can take our attention is the fact that the dynamic of their, let's say, political functionality, political behaviorism is the same. We have an idea in the science of logic. It says, when the arrangement of verses of your argumentation is okay and fixed, it's not important how your verses are directed, to which direction your verses are managed to be. If I say I am hungry, and whoever is hungry needs food, so I need food, it's okay. There is no difference between this kind of argumentation and the other one, which I am going to speak about it. I am not hungry. And those who are not hungry doesn't need food. So I don't need food. These two argumentations are the same. It's not important which direction my argumentation has. So when we speak about the dynamics of politics in our society, we can see the dynamics are the same because the apparatus behind it is the same. So it's not important which direction I have chosen to go because the dynamic behind it is the same. So many other, let's say, examples I can provide you with, but I just don't want to go to this direction because it doesn't let us to continue with the discussion we have. And sorry, I am disconnected with my live audiences. Okay. Can you please give it to, excuse me, to, no, to my, okay. So third step is about jurisprudence as a tool to socialization in contemporary Iranian lifestyle. Now I discuss how we can change the society relying on the role that jurisprudence can play. In our life world, the function of jurisprudence is the expansion of socialization process. Jurisprudence gives us a powerful tool for shaping the trends lead to the socialization of this society. The importance of this issue can get understood when we pay attention to the way that jurisprudence can make people convinced to go to one way rather than other one. In fact, jurisprudence can change the society in different ways. It's not okay just to focus on issuing of fatwas. Yes, jurisprudence by issuing of fatwas can make such a change, but it's not limited to that. Before it and behind it, we have to think about the way that jurisprudence can shape our mindset. By focusing on the way that jurisprudence can shape the mindset of people of the society, we can make it possible to have some socialization process with focusing on the role that jurisprudence can do and let's come to the conclusion of our talk and provide you with some examples which helps me to illustrate how jurisprudence can play such a great role in shaping the society, in helping the society to go to one way rather than the other way. One example is music. These examples are small, but at the same time, they can play a great role to understand how jurisprudence has such a potentiality. One example is music. Before the Islamic Revolution 1979, it was forbidden almost in accordance with the fatwa of all maraji to listen to music. Mostly people who were believers of faith used to not listen to music. So on a street, it was so normal to see a believer to faith, to see a mu'min that has put his hand on his eyes because he didn't want or she didn't want to listen to music, which was on the street. Just 2 years after it, when Islamic Revolution established and new world just was happened. Okay. What I have said, please consider it as a slide in your mind. What I have said about the man with the hands on his ears, consider it as a slide. The second slide is about a marja of taqlid after the establishment of the Islamic Republic of Iran. He's going to listen to the radio of IRIB, and it's the time of news, as we know how important it is for them. So at this time, this marja of taqlid listened to the music without even thinking there is a problem with such a word. Issues has changed, fatwas have changed, but But what is important for us is the culture behind these fatwas, which has changed as well. Comparing what we can see when we return to the picture of I have tried to depict it with what one can expect from other cultures, we can understand how important jurisprudence is socializing a society. In a society which has 1,000 years of thinking about music as haram, how it comes that after 2 years, people come to a position, come to a point that they can accept music like something so normal? If it was Germany, if it was England, is it possible to imagine after 1,000 years of thinking about something as haram, you change it and you accept it and you observe it as something so normal? It's never ever can take place. It shows the power, the potentiality, the capability, the contingency behind jurisprudence to socialize the society. So many other examples are here that I can provide them with you, like the game of chess, like the covering of face during the period of Qajars and what happened after the period of Nasiri. Nowadays, it's normal not to have a hijab like niqab. But before it was abnormal, absolutely abnormal. It's the power of jurisprudence to make social changes in a society possible and happened. So there are so other examples. I don't know. Maybe that's enough. Let's come to the end of our discussion.
Thank you very much. Very.
And sorry for the problem, technical problems I have with my live audiences, and sorry if several times interruptions took place. Sorry.
Thank you very much. That was really very deep and discussion decision. What is very important is the pathology of the problem of the society. What do you think? How do you think on it? The society one side and the Islamic jurisprudence the other side. You see the people in the street, their behavior is not according to the Islamic jurisprudence.
Yes.
That is really pathology for this problem, according to fiqh.
Yes, can I speak about it? It's important. It's important to note that not all Iranians are religious or believe in the authority of jurisprudence. I can see it. I don't have this misconception and illusion that people of street are just following jurisprudence in such a strong way. However, the point that I want to make here is that even those who do not believe in jurisprudence or not act in accordance with the instruction of jurisprudence are deeply and heavily influenced by jurisprudence. As I have tried to show, and I hope I was successful to show it, I don't know, jurisprudence is existed inside the mind of people, even though they are not following it. And by jurisprudence, I don't mean only the instructions, the fatwas. I mean that kind of epistemological apparatus, which made it possible for them to think normatively rather than descriptive way. I hope it helped.
The audience, virtually or in person, any question? We are at your services. We are waiting your questions.
Please, we need some questions.
Look
because a talk without question is not a talk.
Yeah, it's incomplete somehow. Yes. Thank you for your wonderful presentation first. And my question is beyond what you just talked about recently about jurisprudence or fiqh. Just asking about making people believe and follow jurisprudence, especially the young generation we have. Yes. They do not even know what fiqh is. I myself did not know what jurisprudence was before I entered this wonderful Holy Academy. And now, after so many years working here, I understood that. But how can we just make our young generations, you know, move toward jurisprudence and then they can observe it, because they really ignore it and they just escape from it?
It's out of my discussion, in fact. My discussion was about the epistemological approach toward jurisprudence rather than, let's say, functional approach toward it. But I think in a set of focusing on, let's say, superficial level of jurisprudence, we have to think about jurisprudence as a kind of mechanism which is related to the way that Iranian society is established. So if we try to have a society based on acceptance of variety of lifestyles of people, if we respect the differences which are existed on the ground, the society, because of its connection in its deepest way with the jurisprudence, will come to a point on which the possibility of reconnection with jurisprudence as it appears in its, appearances, the last layer of jurisprudence, can increase. So we have to speak about it when we have to see it more fundamentally, as I see it. Instead of focusing on the last step, we need to speak about the first step. Yes, basics, sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mukhtarevich. We had here about, I think, 2 years ago, we had a meeting with the professor whose claim was against you. Not very sharp against you, but somehow. But thinking that Iranian lifestyle is most compared with and most mixed and linked with mysticism but and not jurisprudence. I think if someone else, a third person comes here and he or she is socialists, I think, who studies social study. We may say that, okay, Iranian society has very influence on jurisprudence, not vice versa, not jurisprudence influenced Iranian society, but the problem is vice versa, the opposite is true, because Iranian society do not want to be so live with all rigid laws of jurisprudence. You said that jurisprudence is not the laws, jurisprudence is not only the fatwas. Okay, I can understand what you said, but mostly are fatwas. And if you said that after the Islamic Revolution, the jurisprudence makes people think that, for example, musician is okay, even they, before the Islamic Revolution, were thinking that that musician is not okay, I can say that no, even before revolution, Iranian people mostly think that musician is not is not is very good, and they were friends with musicians.
Not mad.
And when I was in the United States, and I said to some of my hosts that Iranian men do not shake women's hands, he replies me, "Oh, I don't think so. Yes, I believe that Iranian Islamic believers or Iranian clergymen do not shake women's hands. But other than these groups, these believers, Mu'minin, other than Mu'minin, all Iranian people, Iranian men shake women's hands, even in Iran, not from outside the Iran." So it's very good problem to solve that. Is that okay? Is it true that jurisprudence have some influential fatwa for changing people's culture, or people's culture has influence on jurisprudence? This is the first point. The second point is that even among the believers, even amongst the mu'minin, there are many fatwas here now that are not like governmental fatwas. It wasn't that the power of government after the Islamic Revolution that changed. That with the power of government, but with the power of politics, that make some changes for example, mostly Islamic believers and mu'minin to think that musiqi and musician is okay. But if you search fatwas even nowadays, if you search fatwas, there are many fatwas amongst ulamas that say musiqi and musician is haram in Islam. Sorry.
Yes, thank you for good questions. I start with the first one. Okay, you speak about the scholar came here and he was completely against me. And let me inform you that just other night, in the night before this day, in our research academy in Tehran, I had a debate with Mr. Maksud Firasat Kha. And in that debate, exactly, socialist, as you mentioned, sociology. He's working on the field of sociology. Yeah, sociologist. And exactly, he was against me, and I just was trying to defend what I have mentioned here from other perspective and in different discourse, of course. But I have experienced this kind of debate in so many places and occasions. And this example of music, I hoped it helped, but maybe it just made it even far from each other. You know, that the problem is not about music, it's about hijab, it's about the nature of jurisprudence. Even it's not about, I'm going to do your second question now. It's not about the way that Maraj now are convinced to issue one or other fatwa. Maybe political, yes, as you're right, political condition, environmental situation, environmental occasions, all have effects on them. But I am speaking about the dynamic behind the jurisprudence. Maybe it would be better if I have provided you with another example, which I have written about it, I have noted about it for myself, which is Naini. And Naini's, great contribution to jurisprudence. So I think jurisprudence, if behind English, I want to speak with the language of Lori, Fasih Lori of Fasih Lori language. It's better, maybe. You know, jurisprudence is like an apparatus. It's an apparatus. Your income reach to an outcome. So it's important which income you put on this system of thinking. If you put what Now you have put on it like freedom and justice. The result can be constitutional considerations which he has made for the Shiite political jurisprudence. If you put something else, the result can be something else also. So we have to see it as a kind of apparatus. We have to see the dynamics of jurisprudence rather than focusing on issues, environment, conditions, what other one is going to say, what this one is trying to mention. Instead of this kind of, let's say, concentration on details, I want to go one step back and see it in the holistic, let's say, picture. The whole picture is important because it lets us to know how our society have a way toward development. You know, different societies have to find their own way toward development. Now, when we have students at universities, they give us their proposals for writing hypotheses, something like that. They start with several fixed questions, like what is the philosophy, the methodology, the ontology, the epistemology. I think this kind of questions doesn't work here and in this society, because our mind is managed in another way. Our mind is not philosophical. It's, let's say, kind of orientalistic approach toward knowledge. This kind of orientalistic approach toward knowledge doesn't work here and in this society. Our mind is wisdom-based one rather than philosophy-based one. And that's why you see this innovative religious thinkers, these intellectuals in terms of religions, like Dr. Suruj, like so many others. Their project never changed anything. It was not about the ground. It was not about the reality on the ground. It was so abstractive, so mind-oriented projects, which has nothing to share about the reality on the ground, because it's like following the West without understanding what we are going to speak about it, to have something about it, is completely in its nature different. And what Naini has put on the table still has something to share with us after so many years, even though it's old, even though the protocols of research has changed dramatically during so many decades that has passed. Still, Naini has the upper hand comparing with what intellectuals have offered us during these decades. So I want to say we have lost the way. We have forgotten the nature of knowledge here and in relation with us. The problem of orientalistic approach is so important. And the problem of thinking about jurisprudence as something like philosophy, let's say literature, and put it in a line with them. It's not right when it comes to our society. In our society, before Islam, after Islam, legality was so important. It's an action-oriented society. It's not an idea-oriented society. So with the dominance of the methodologies coming from the side of the Western humanities, which is based on giving the first seat to the philosophy, we have lost the way. So because of that, our intellectual projects, our works, even as jurists, as those who are working in the field of jurisprudential, let's say, methodologies, disciplines, even our works have no fruit, has no outcome, because it's not in connection with the way that our society is managed deeply and historically and culturally. That's what I wanted just to speak about it.
Thank you. Other question? Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Doctor. Just I want to have a short discussion with you about what you have said.
You can have a longer discussion later as well.
Of course. Thank you so much. First, I want to clear something about these two words that you use them, lifestyle and life worth. You use these two in your talk. When we speak about lifestyle, I think our mind goes to modus operandi or the tangible part of our life. But when we use life word as we follow the Husserl works about the life word, as we say it in German, Lebenswelt, yes. And we just mean unknown parts of life and more philosophical background of daily life of people. And but when you use these two together, what do you mean with lifestyle and life worth separately? And just if I want to come to a conclusion, if I could get your talk clearly and correctly, I think you spoke about something in between, something tangible or abstract, something physical and also metaphysical aspect of life. But
no, okay, it was my failure just to separate these two words, and I used them so fast without paying enough attention to the differences which are existed between these two words. You're right, thank you for mentioning it. You know, life word, as you said, is abstractive and about so many hidden, let's say, layers of the life that we have. It's about the whole management of life. But lifestyle is like the way that it appears on the real world. So life world is associated with different lifestyles. A variety of different lifestyles are originating from life world. And in fact, when I spoke in the third step of my discussion about the connection between jurisprudence and life world, I meant life world, not lifestyle. But I went one step forward and said, if we accept that there is a connection between life world and jurisprudence, we can speak about the way that lifestyle can get affected by jurisprudence. Because lifestyles, in its differences, in its so many forms and shapes which appears in the society, at the end of all discussion, are in connection with life world. So I just try to make it clear that life world has jurisprudence hidden in its core.
One more question, please. And I couldn't understand what do you mean when you are speaking about the rule of faith in our long history. Do you consider faith as a common awareness for Iranian mind? Something between sky and ground, as you mentioned it many times, that can shape as a knowledge and can manage our life, or you consider faith as a meta mechanism that produces norms and codes for the long and let's say maybe the one of longest civilization in the world. So when you are speaking about something with this history, I think you have to refer to something bigger than Shia jurisprudence. And just let's to finish my questions. And the other question I can say, you didn't clear the relations between faith or jurisprudence with other branches of Islamic knowledge. And I think we need to make it clear and mention what kind of the connections we can find between these parts of knowledge. And when you spoke about intellectualism of Iran and Naini and compared them with the work of Naini, what do you think? Are you agree with me? Because Naini was a jurist, so his work also works until now. But when we are speaking about other intellectuals of intellects of Iran, they are not from this field of study, and so they are speaking about other parts of the Iranian life. Just I want to say, maybe you can find the jurist and jurisprudence speed less than the speed of this society. And nowadays, even though the political jurist ideas can work, but other parts of society don't follow the codes of jurisprudence in their life. Thank you.
Thank you. So, three questions. Referring to the first question, yes, birthplace of jurisprudence is between the sky and world, ground. It's a kind of bridge which tries to make a connection between God and people. It's a kind of discipline that has two, let's say, dimension. From one hand, it's so metaphysical. From other hand, it's so practical. One can say it's the most practical discipline which has produced during the history of Islam and in Islamic history. And most of innovations, when it comes to the history of us, most of innovations were concentrated on jurisprudence. You know, people, smart people during the history, smart scholars, upper scholars, usually were interested to jurisprudence. Let's say our tradition to some extent is about jurisprudence. And with that, I come to the second question. I don't think it's right to put jurisprudence on a table in a line with other disciplines. And to speak like that, jurisprudence, mysticism, philosophy, morality, and other disciplines are the same. They are not the same. It's an orientalistic approach to our knowledge, which has dominated us. Jurisprudence is behind them. Jurisprudence is a kind of system that has made these other disciplines possible to get realized, to be on the ground. So jurisprudence is like what we have behind other disciplines. I don't see it. And it seems to be radical, because our mind is shaped by the orientalistic approach to our disciplines. But if you return to Ghazali, you can understand what I am saying is okay. When Ghazali tried to define the knowledges, you can see the position that jurisprudence has. And I come to this to second knowledge question, which I just one sentence about the last question. Sorry. Okay, the problem is not that these intellectual projects have a let's say faster speed, so jurisprudence is behind them, vice versa, jurisprudence is even faster than them, because jurisprudence connect you to the core of your society. So Naini can make a real change, but Mr. Suroosh cannot make a real change. Mr. Malikian cannot make a real change. I don't want just to focus on one rather than other one. People from different approaches and orientations. These people cannot make a change because they are just busy with the business of proposing luxurious ideas, but they don't. These ideas don't work. They have nothing. they have nothing in to relate them in the reality. I'm against Apple. Okay.
No problem. We're talking. Each other.
A good question never disappears.
But I know that I know that some question I am not here to ask you.
Please go on.
Just kidding. how can I prove or show to my relatives, to many of non-believers in my relatives? How can I say that? Okay, even
can you change your relatives?
No, even if you don't like jurisprudence fatwas and you don't live in accordance with fatwas, even with one of fatwas, we don't live with one of fatwas, but they are good with Allah and they say, okay, I'm a Muslim, but I don't think that God makes this kind of discipline for our life as ulama in jurisprudence. Can I prove that dynamically and in your hidden parts of your mind, this is jurisprudence that realms has very, they can say, okay, I don't know, I'm not living with this, with your fatwas. Oh, okay, you think that we are living with your fatwas. What's the change?
Okay, you know what?
When you say that Malikian's or Suruj's speeches do not make changes, but Naini's fatwas changed people in Iran, this is a problem of sociology. We can make some research, sociological research, to show that these behaviors comes from Suruj's ideas. These behaviors comes from Malikian's ideas, not from jurisprudence.
No,
and
I'm not following you at all. I'm against you.
Sorry, maybe jurisprudence was a meme. Mm.
Facilitated. Yes. Thank you for your contribution. No, sorry, even though I'm proud to be your friend, but at the same time, I'm not proud to follow you in this approach that you have mentioned already now. First of all, but yes, no. Okay, yes, okay, I know. First of all, what I have said is not to change your relatives. It's about scholars. I am not speaking about the way that we can have effects on people on their daily life. My audiences in the first place are those who are thinking about those hidden mechanisms which are not so far as you showed with your hand, but they are really everywhere in our mind. Those mechanisms that has something in connection with our terms of ideologies, terms of approaches toward different issues. So we need to address it. So I try to address it. But I come to the second part of your question, which you said people on the ground, people in their daily life, let's say, are receiving instructions from Dr. Malikian, Dr. Suruj. I don't think so, really. I really don't think
no,
so.
I
it's not the way that I...
No, I see that it needs to do.
But I think they can receive something from Naini so deeply, so heavily. Even though it takes... No.
With our
praxis. You know, we have phronesis and we have praxis.
Yeah.
Our society is based on, it's a practical one. If your mind is somehow associated with the way that scholars are providing you with some new ideas, if there is a society with such a future characterization that the mind of people is in association with the scholars, the way that the scholars contribute ideas, that's our society. Our society has such a different, let's say, aspect comparing with those societies which are philosophy-based ones. So I think.
When we speak about society, we have to use sociology methods.
It's not about sociology.
Research. Our society is different from the society.
I'm not going to prove something here in terms of sociology and statistics just to show what I am saying is acceptable because of these statistics. I just speak epistemologically. I think
this is not the method. The method of sociology is not epistemology. Epistemology is a philosophical method. How can we solve the problems of the society with the method of philosophy? This is my question.
1 century ago, a constitutional revolution took place here in Iran, a constitutional revolution, more than 1 century ago. When it took place in Iran, nowhere else within this region, not only within this region, even in the eastern part of Europe, even somehow in the western part of Europe, such a thing took place. In an epistemological argumentation, which doesn't need to go to the techniques of sociology, in an epistemological argumentation, we can understand there is something in the mind of Iranian that made it possible to take this step at that time. Still, we have big first problems which were at the first place, like the causes of that revolution. Still, we didn't solve them. What it says about us? Can you give me a statistical, sociological number to show me the differences between our society and others with relying on the techniques of sociology?
No, never.
It's an epistemological question in its first place.
No, my friend, my brother.
You started with my friend. I'm afraid you are going to end with my enemy.
No, you are not my close friend. Everywhere you are my close friend. Maybe I ask Mrs. to ask you because she dare ask more than.
Yes.
Yeah. The sociology, the society, sociology, methodology is not only the statistics methodology. We have many, many methodological.
Okay, it doesn't matter.
We do not solve sociological problems only with referring to statistics.
It's not a sociological problem. The problem is that you think it's a sociological problem. It's not sociological in its first place. It's not about sociology. Rather than being a sociological problem, it's about epistemological approach toward the world.
That's very bigger than diploma.
So we can continue our discussion behind the scenes.
Doctor Mobelleghi, please explain me that what's the relationship between Shi spirituality and Islamic revolution, and then spirituality is respected nowadays?
Yes, Shi spirituality is located on the heart of Islamic revolution. But what I wanted to make it clear is that this spirituality itself is in connection with what we call it the epistemological apparatus of jurisprudence. You know, this spirituality, as Hande Korban says, is not something different from these regulations. These regulations, these quotes are origin of what we call it spirituality as well. Now, in our orientalistic approach toward knowledges, we put a spirituality and morality behind everything. It can be good in an analytical way. It can be good analytical understanding of sciences. I have no argumentation about it. But when it comes to the phenomenological understanding of what has happened historically on us, within our mind, within our society, within our culture, I want to put pressure on an explanation on a fact that a spirituality is a product of something deeper, which is our approach to our wisdom. And wisdom in its core is about regulations, a kind of regulation that connect us to the God, not God like a kind of metaphysical Islamic God only. All metaphysics which can be behind regulations. Now it's as Muslims, it's our Almighty God. But for people before Islam, it was just metaphysics.
Thank you. The other question? No, mister?
Virtually.
If it is. Yes.
Once again, those who are online can ask questions if there are any.
So there is no one. You cannot force them to ask questions. No, morality speaking, you can.
Maybe the meeting is coming to
end. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. In this moment, I finished the session. And thank you for your excellent lecture, excellent speech. The words was very significant for us and for other Udayas. Inshallah, we get a lot from your future speeches, future words, inshallah. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time and patience. Thank you.